Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Has anybody other than myself thought about where has this year gone? I began to look at my Sunday calendar and I try to plan out, don't always work, but I try to plan out my, you know, when I'm going to start a series or this, that, and the other, and I was looking for next 3 Sundays mornings before Christmas and looking at possibly what I'm going to preach on those Sunday mornings. And just if you're wondering, I didn't come up with anything at the time. But I'm sure that something will hit before Sunday morning. And just thought, wow, this year has just flew by. Year has flew by. But as I was, I came in, you know, I felt like today I've been behind the eight ball all day. And I got up early to keep myself from being behind the eight ball. But how many knows that's just sometimes things happen. You just get behind the eight ball and you just gotta deal with the hand you're dealt, right? Amen. It's not, you know, some people think, oh, you're a great card player. You're not a great card player if you keep getting aces. Right? But you gotta learn how to play the card you dealt. Pastor, we don't believe in playing cards. Well, I'm talking about Uno. Amen. What do you think I was talking about, you sinner? But anyway, I'm done, worship team, band. Y'all can sit there for all I care. I don't care. But anyway, I want to talk to you today about helping people really change. Helping people really change. You know, I say this every year around this time, because it becomes prevalent. It is truth that during the days between Thanksgiving and New Year's, there will be more suicides than any other time in the year. There will be more people that are down, out, give up, throw in the towel, however you want to declare it, but there will be more people during this time, and I think that there are many factors that we could go out and discover or go down a rabbit trail to find out why they are that way and why it happens. I'm sure it's because of people thinking of home, people thinking of people or things that they lost, so forth and so on. But let's skip all of that for tonight, and let's just go to how can we really help people? Because, you know, as a pastor, that's my calling. That's what I do. What God has called me to do is to help lead people in not only into His presence, but into a relationship with Him, help them to find their calling to, according to the Word of God. My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. According to the Word of God, it is my job to introduce people not only to Jesus, but then to help them, maneuver. But to help them to help direct their paths to a better relationship with Jesus Christ. But ultimately, all of that should lead to a better person. All of that should lead to a better person. And so I've thought about over the years of how many people that I have mentored, that I've pastored, that I have, sowed into, that I have, that I thought were doing good, but yet as I look back and I see those people that are out of church and out of fellowship with God and they're back doing the same old things that they once did. And I know that, you know, some of you gracious saints would say, Pastor, that's not your fault. Some of you not so gracious would say, Pastor, that's your fault. Well, I tend to go with the gracious people. But, you know, so you can keep your other attitude to yourself. But anyway, But I thought about that. How can we really help people? But how can we really help people to change? And I wished I could tell you that He gave me 3 steps for change, but He didn't. I'm going to give you 3 points. And there's 3 things that I believe that will help us help people to really change. But how many knows that it's still on the person? You've got this person in your life. Now, if they're here, don't point at them. But you've got this person in your life and they really need to change. They really need either you think they need to change or you God in their life or whatever, you know, the Lord done told me you need to change. Whatever the case, you know that there's some things in their life that need to change. And for years, maybe your husband has struggled with anger. Don't say amen, honey. Maybe for years your wife has suffered from self-control, or maybe for years your children have suffered from laziness. Amen. Come on, somebody. Maybe for years your daughter has suffered from a low self-esteem or body image or whatever the case is. Maybe for years you know people who have struggled with addictions, struggled with sin, and struggled with different areas of their life that they really need to overcome and to get on top of this thing. Pastor Roger, myself, was talking about a family that we mentioned that he's seen today and are part of their family, and they used to be in church, but yet now they're out of church, and their excuse was, well, you know, they're busy with the kids. So, yeah, and so great, you're going to raise your children out of church. That makes sense to me. We will make sure that they're at karate, but we won't make sure they're at Sunday school or Wednesday night service. We'll make sure they're at football practice because that's important. And what it really tells me is that we don't feel like that church is important or relevant. And you know why it's not? Because it's not important or relevant to the parent. So how do we really help people, Pastor? Well, it's going to be a short sermon. I don't know. Praise, stand to your feet. Let's go home. Now I got a little bit for you. You know, at some point in time, you want to help move them forward, but you don't know how to help them overcome their sin that has beset them, or their habit or their bondage that has beset them for so long. And once again, whether they're here or not, is there anybody else aggravated about that? Anybody else? They're aggravated that you're trying to help people, but they don't seem to want to help themselves. You try to help people, but you just can't push them over that they get to that one little runner or that one bump in the road, and they just can't get past that bump in the road. And what we want to do is take a baseball bat and knock them across that, but we can't do that because it doesn't work. You're fed up. You're worn out. You're pretty much feeling hopeless. You've resigned yourself to the fact that maybe things will always be that way in them or in you. Maybe it's not them that you're talking about. Maybe it's not them that you're aggravated with. Maybe it's not them that you are feeling hopeless about. Maybe it's you. Well, what are we supposed to do, Pastor? What are we supposed to do? Fortunately, the Bible gives us some insight. Gives us some pretty straightforward wisdom. And odds are the Bible's wisdom probably runs contrary to our wisdom and our ideas of how to help a person change. Because as I was just reading through today, passages jumped out at me that started messing with me a little bit. Let me give them to you. How do we really help people to change? Well, go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know, there were some that didn't want James to be a part of the New Testament. There were some that thought James was too practical. But I like James. I like the fact that there are some practical things that we ought to do. And James tells us that without faith or without works, faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. And a dead faith is worse than no faith at all. So here's what the Bible says. And I'm going to back up. I don't know if you can catch me, Broderick. I want to back up to verse 12. Just as we was worshiping, I went back to verse 12. And I know it says this. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Had a birthday, I'm going to change. Hot flash. That hot flash or something. That's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, don't make it where I'm cool. I'm the only one working tonight. Don't worry about it. Oh, help us, Lord. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has seen or been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. His own desires. Christ. Like that. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, I want to stop right there, and this is not in the message. But when sin is full grown, some people do sin, think they're getting away with sin, but I want you to know that sin isn't full grown yet. That you may be getting away with it now, but sin isn't full grown. But once it's full grown, it's going to bring forth death. It goes kind of like this. You think it's funny when your kids back talk when they're one. But when it's full grown, it ain't so funny. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Give my next verse before I get caught right there. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth. Of his own will he brought us forth with truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, verse 19. So then, my beloved. So then, he kind of changes things. My Bible says, qualities needed in trials. So then, my beloved brethren, that every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Okay? So, Pastor, how then can we help a person change? Now, I'm going to give you, don't give them the first one yet, Broderick. I'm about to give you the first one. And when I give you the first one, you're going to go, tell me something I don't know. Are you ready? It's deep. It's going to blow your mind. Give it to them, Broderick. Pray for them. But there's a fourth word on there. Repeatedly. Pray for them. Repeatedly. Rapidly. Repeatedly. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Pray. Had a woman. I don't know what else to do with my husband. Have you tried to heap hot coals of fire upon his head? No, but I tried a pot of hot grits. Pray repeatedly. We tend to get this a little wonky. We get this kind of a little messed up. Because thoroughly unbiblical ideas in our minds that we have the power and can actually change somebody. But let me help you. You can't change people. You don't have the power and or the capacity to change people. I use this all the time when I deal with couples, but we men, well, when we get married, we say, oh, I hope my wife never changes. But when our wives get married, they go, I'll change him. Amen. And I've been changed. And I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Anyway. Sometimes we think that by the force of our will, we can move a person from ungodliness to godly. That surely they'll do it because we want them to. Yeah, right. We think that if we get sufficiently angry, they'll see our point and change. Now, let me tell you, the main reasons why people change, not all the time, but the majority of the time, people don't change because they see the light. They change because they feel the heat. That's why many times people don't come to Christ until they hit rock bottom, because they don't have or feel like they have a need for Christ until they're at the bottom. And so then they're ready to listen to a new idea about change. We feel like that if we force, if they will feel the force of our anger and come under the cutting conviction of the Holy Spirit and repent, well, that partly is right, that our anger won't make them repent. Because how many people know that people who are sorry because they got caught? And there's a difference in sorry for getting caught and sorry because they know that they've done wrong. All right? Of course, we understand that it's complete nonsense to think that because we get so angry, they're going to change. How many times have you gotten angry about something and people have said, and me, and I'm included, said, I will change, but yet nothing changed? Why? Well, here's where people get really messed up. Because they don't love me enough. It has nothing to do with it. If you love me enough, you'll change. It has nothing to do with it. We've got to recognize that you and I do not have the power to change people. That's why it's got to take God. It's got to take God. So therefore we pray. And here's what gets me is that, you know, in January, we're going to have a emphasis on, when we do our 21-day fast, we're going to have an emphasis on prayer. I'm going to preach on prayer. And on Sunday nights, we're going to come and pray. And we're going to have a revival of prayer. And I guess I'm talking about prayer tonight, but because it's kind of on my mind. But we get to the point that we go, oh my God, it's come to that. We can do nothing but pray. Because we think it's something that is at the last resort, when it should be your first resort. That you should pray, and our first point, pray repeatedly. Pastor, I'm tired of praying for him. Don't you think that somebody was tired of praying for you? How many times can I remember, I'm telling you, more than I can count, when I would walk in late or early morning hours and hear my mom praying for me. I, for one, am glad she didn't give up. I, for one, am glad that she didn't pray one time and then quit, but she prayed repeatedly. And I believe that today I'm saved, not because of her will, but because of her prayer. Man. If they really love us, Pastor, they'll change. No, they'll try. If they really love you, no, what they really need is a God encounter. A Jesus encounter that changes them from the inside out. Encounter where the blood of Jesus cleanses them and makes them whole and relieves them from some of those things that are in their life and their heart. Most of the time, if people don't change for themselves, they see the light or feel the heat it will not usually last if they don't change for themselves. How many times have you seen people change for you, but it didn't last? But when they change for themselves, if, you know, and it's really in everything in life. If you try to do something because somebody wants you to do it, is one thing. But you got to do it for you. Whatever it is. Losing weight, if you don't do it for you, it ain't going to happen. You can't do it just because somebody else told you that. I want to lose weight because I'm tired of people telling me I'm fat. Well, listen, let me tell you, there's always going to be somebody skinnier. Right? You got to do it for you. Whatever the case is, well, I want to get closer to God because the pastor said I ought to be. No, you got to do it for you. I want to get closer to God because I want God to do this. No, you got to do it for you. And what God does for you is the byproduct of you having a relationship with Him. He said, if you seek me, He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceedingly great reward. And everything else that comes in your life is a byproduct of Him being your exceedingly great reward. Well, how do we help people change? Pray. Pray repeatedly. Because only God can create true godliness in a person. You know, what we produce is do better. You know, how many have ever said, well, bless God, I'm going to do better. And that's what that, I'm going to do better. You know, addictions, they always do, well, I'm going to do better. In the 12-step program, help me, Bob, but if I'm not mistaken, in the 12-step program, they'll even tell you that you've got to have a higher power than you. Because you can't do it on your own, am I correct? You can't do it on your own. I've come by to tell you this. I don't care how much willpower you have. You cannot do it all on your own in this life. You need the power of an almighty God. You need the power of the blood of Jesus, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. It is God that has changed my thinking. We all have stinking thinking. It's this word that changes our thinking. This word that changes us from the way that we were raised, the way that God wants us to be. Because let me tell you something. If my thinking is wrong, I can almost make the Bible say whatever I want it to say if I take Scripture out of context. Only God can bring about repentance. Here's another one. Only God can soften a heart. Only God can soften a heart. You know, I've seen people,
if God had just saved my baby, if God would let my baby die, I'll serve him to the end.
Baby get better. Never see him. Never see him. Because unless God does the work, work that was done is in vain. Do you want someone to change? Pray for them. Constantly. Repeatedly. Without ceasing. You know, there was was that Sister John's baby that used to do that on Sundays? Mark John's mom? Yeah. So Sister John's, her and her husband were pastors. She had three sons, and they were all unsaved. And she'd cook supper for them every Sunday. Every Sunday they'd come by and she'd put the table together. Just, you know, just like only a mama can do. And she'd have all these good food and she would sit at the table and she'd smile and look at them and they'd go, Mama, ain't you gonna eat? She wouldn't set her own plate. She wouldn't have a plate in front of her. Mama, aren't you gonna eat? You made all this food. She said, no. Mama, are you feeling okay? I'm fine physically. Well, Mama, why aren't you going to eat? She said, I'm fasting. Well, I know we're not supposed to ask you, but what are you fasting for? I'm fasting for my boys to get saved. Mama, don't do that. Mama, eat. She said, get saved and I will. Amen. Amen. Now let me just tell you that all three boys are saved, two of them pastoring. Alright? But you gotta understand that there is a, you know, if you want God to use you as part of that change, you don't need to find the biggest family Bible that you have and begin to beat people over the head with it, because you can do more damage by doing that than you can by praying. Because let me tell you something, they can stop you from beating them over the head. They can stop coming around you. They can stop your influence in their life. But they can't stop you praying. They can't stop you praying. They can't stop you praying. And the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And time and space doesn't get in the way of prayer. Because when we pray, no one can stop it. God hears us when we pray. Hallelujah. Pray that God would bless them. Pray God would fill them with joy and increase their knowledge in Him. God opened their eyes. God opened their eyes. You know, I know of a woman that used to pray. I'm not joking. She'd go, sick them, God, sick them. Sick them. But she prayed amiss. She wanted God to really sick them. She wanted God to whoop somebody. Want to punch her right in the throat. The throat puncher. Pray that God would give them victory over their sin. Here we go. Instead of criticizing that person that you want to change, pray for them. Do this. For every one time you criticize, pray 10 times. Why? Because it's so easy. Right? Because God really does change people when I pray. You pray. Best way to help a person really change is to pray for them. So, pray for them repeatedly. All right, here comes number two. Encourage them repeatedly. Wait a minute. You've gone too far. First of all, you want me to pray for them. And now you want me to encourage them? You mean you want me to encourage them in their filth? No, I didn't say that. I just said encourage them. It sounds counterintuitive. But if we want people to change, encouragement certainly isn't the answer, Pastor, is it? Is it? Well, hang on. Because we think that if I encourage them, they'll think everything's okay, and everything is not okay. I want them to change. Well, I'm not saying encourage them in what they're doing. But encourage them. This is how it works. The biblical authors of the New Testament followed a very distinct pattern. Before criticizing them, they would usually encourage them. Before bringing any criticism, they began with encouragement. Now, how to win friends and influence people. How leadership, they'll teach you to the sandwich technique. Alright? They will teach you to put, you know, encouragement here, criticism here, and then encouragement on the other side. And it works. It really does work. But, so we've got to encourage some of the people. You know, I remember, and I can't remember the name of the person, but this woman, she could not stand her husband. Don't point. Yeah, I'm not talking about anybody here, those of you who have told me that. But anyway, but this was an NFL player, and they went to marriage counseling. Or first of all, she went because he wouldn't go. And I love what he says, what the marriage counselor said to this woman, and I've used it many times. Here's what he said. He said, if you could help your marriage by 50%, would you do it? She said, well, yeah. He said, then you can. She said, no, I can't. He won't come with me. And then he said, you are 50% of the marriage. And then so he says, so they talked for like 30 minutes and she couldn't find one good thing to say about her husband. And they said, well, and so finally he said, can you think of anything? She said, well, he's clean. She says, oh, so the guy says, oh, so he cleans the house? No, no, he don't do anything to that. He himself, his hygiene, he's clean. He said, all right, then let's just zero in on that. And let's go through the day several times a day, thanking him for being clean. Boy, that ain't much to work with. I hope, my God, that Sherry's got a little bit more to work with me than just being clean. Now, I hope I'm pretty clean, but I hope there's a little bit more there than just me being clean. But when they were given the interview, both of them were there together because not only did it work, she began to encourage him in the things that he was doing right instead of just in embroiling the things that were doing wrong. When Paul addressed the church at Corinth, man, the church was in shambles. The church had spiritual gifts mania. Everybody wanted to know what their gift. You ever been to that church? What's my gift? 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 Your gift is being a thorn in my flesh. That's what your gift is. Quit it. Don't exercise your gift. What's my gift? What's my gift? And there are churches that you can go to and all they want to do is just share with you your gift. Not that you're going to ever use it, but there's your gift. Your gift is the gift of encouragement. Your gift is the gift of gab. Your gift is the gift of food. Mine. Your gift is the gift of keeping Snickers in business. The Corinth church was absolute circus. It was an absolute circus. They had sexual immorality. They had defiling the sacraments and a host of other problems. But Paul began his letter to the Corinthians by telling them how grateful he was for them. He starts like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I give thanks to my God, always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless of the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. I mean, you know, well, that's just buttering them up. Bless God, I just believe in telling it like it is. And that's why ain't nobody doing it like it is. I have people in here sometimes. I mean, not in here. Usually the Sunday morning crowd, they usually tell me. Not true. I asked somebody this week, Pastor, I like it when you get down there and start hammering down, hammer down, hammer down, hammer down, hammer down. You probably need to hammer down a little bit lower, Pastor. Hammer down. Just tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them. I'm telling you. Do you want to help the person to change? Then give thanks to God for something in their life. Encourage them. Something's going right in their life. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get on the track of what's wrong with everybody. That's where you'll stay. Now, here's what I know. I tell people all the time, whatever you come to church for, you'll find it. If you come to find Jesus, He's here. If you come to find good worship, it's here. If you come to find bad worship, it's here. If you come to find good preaching, it's here. If you come to find bad worship, I mean preaching, it's here. If you come to find fault, plenty of it, absolutely. But if you come to worship, it's here. Whatever you decide. So if you get on that track of this is bad about this person or this person you're wanting to change, if it's bad, then you'll get on that track and it's hard to get off that track. Why? Because it just fits so good. It's easy. And it makes you feel better. Bless God, I told you. And it makes you feel better because you feel superior than them, but you're not. Just different. You want to help the person, give thanks to God for them. Encourage them. Point out the areas where you see God working in their life. Bring them back to God all the time. What do you mean? Man, God really blessed you there. Well, that's the blessing of God on your life. Man, God really worked there. I can see the gift of God on you. Encourage them. Does that make sense to you? 1 Thessalonians. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Encouragement is the fertilizer for spiritual growth. You want people to grow, encourage them. You want a person to grow, pour encouragement onto them. Number three, all right? Number one, what was it? Number one was pray repeatedly. Number two was encourage them repeatedly. And then number three is correct them occasionally. Boy, some of y'all are like, whew, I'm glad he got to that one. I need to correct some people. You ever notice that you want judgment on other people and grace on you? Not me, bless God. I just get in a holy indignation. No, we all do it. You know, I've said this before. You know, there's a sign when you drive and you mess up. There's a sign that people give you. I'm not going to demonstrate. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? There needs to be a sign that we give when we know we did something stupid. To keep them from having to give us the sign that we did something stupid. I don't know, like, you know. You do something, I'm stupid, I know it, I'm sorry. And it keeps them from having to give you the sign that you did something stupid. I think we need to institute that. I try to do it. I do some circle. You know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody, does anybody else do that? You know, you pull out, oh God, I'm sorry. I just think that they wouldn't feel any better unless I just go run my car into a telephone pole. Are you happy? But there's a time for correction, but that correction should be occasionally in line with 1 Thessalonians 5:14, which says, I didn't put it on there, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. Sometimes our correction will take the form of admonishment. Sometimes it'll take the form of helping someone in their weakness. Sometimes it'll take the form of a rebuke. You know, if you've been in church any length of time before, you know, I always get nervous when people say, now, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something because I love you. Like, oh, Jesus. I just want to stop and go, don't love me. Just don't love me. I don't, you know, because that's what they do. Well, that's what we do, right? I'm going to tell you this because I love you. So what we're doing is I'm setting you up because I'm going to slap you down. But we should pray repeatedly, encourage repeatedly, correct occasionally. Patience be done with the spirit of patience, not anger. This is easier to preach than it is to execute. Because, you know, I grow weary with some people. You know, you see them doing the same thing over and over again. I just want to have a good revival, get them real good and safe, take them out back and shoot them. Make sure they make it to heaven. Gotta forgive me. See, now what's wrong is some of you people are like, ooh, can I be on that committee? I want to be on that team. That's wrong out there. Now don't leave here going, boy, I ain't going back to that church. That's what they do. We don't do that. But pastor, you even thinking it. Listen, I just say stuff that other pastors won't ever say. Amen. So if I say it, usually I won't do it. I'm envisioning some of y'all in jail. All right, I'm kidding. I'm so bad. But we got to help people, not in frustration, not in anger. But it's so hard. It's so easy. So easy. Because how many people know that the people we usually get the maddest at, the most aggravated, the most frustrated, are the people we know well, the people we love, the people we have poured into. You know, there's a saying among pastors. They're going to kick me out of the pastor's club. Get over here with Pastor Cash and snuggle up. There's a saying among pastors that the people you help the most, the first ones to stab you in the back. Ooh, all y'all pastors. Because it's truth. The ones you pour out, the ones that take all of your time, the ones that always calling you and needing prayer, and then you do all of this, and the next thing you know, when you need them, they're not there. Or when they no longer need you, way with normal people. So it's real easy to get frustrated and say, I'm just done with you. And listen, they're like, I got to quit. But we've got to be careful. There are people, you know, we coined this around here a long, many years ago, that I refuse to help people beyond their own participation. All right? Now let me say to you, and I'm trying to teach Steve this. All right? He's getting it. If you come to me for counseling and you don't do what I said do, then don't come back to me. Because therefore you don't respect my time because you didn't respect what I told you. But you told me wrong, then go find somebody else. That's ugly. No. And here's another one. I will only give you 3 sessions if I don't think that I'm helping you. Because I'm not a counselor. See, let me tell you. All right, I look at your neighbor and say, he ain't mad at nobody. I'm really not. So let me just tell you. I did this about 10 years ago. My Tuesdays, I used to be half full of counseling all day long. I'm serious. I'd get up there at 9 o'clock in the morning and I would leave at 4:35 and have counseled all day long with people until I did this. My counseling days, here are my counseling. You want a counseling session with me? Here they are. They first start at Sunday morning at 8:30. Then there's another counseling session at 11 o'clock. Then there's another counseling session at 6 o'clock on Sunday. And then there's another one at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. So if you can get to two out of 4 of those regularly, then I'll give you some time during the week. Because what we need most of the time is not counseling, we need Calvary. Amen. And I'm not being ugly. If I am, then forgive me. Honestly. Not being facetious. I don't mean to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to help you help people. You know, some of us will allow people to take 3-4 hours of our time a day and they never change. At some point in time, you got to go, okay, you're a time stealer. And you ain't wanting to change, you just want somebody to cuddle with. And I don't have time to cuddle. I cuddle with my wife and her only. All right? So how do we help people really change? Pray, encourage, correct, repeat. Pray, encourage. Pray, encourage, correct, repeat. That's how we do it. That's how we're going to do it. Pray repeatedly, encourage repeatedly, correct occasionally. Too often we get the sequence of events backwards. We correct far more than we pray or encourage. I'll tell you a problem. You have those people. Well, I'm having this. Let me tell you your problem. Now I'm going to close. I got to quit. You know what the result of that is? No change. This is no lie. There was a guy, he didn't come to church here anymore. Like usually once or twice a year he still comes. But when I say this boy broke. All right. And why is he poor? Because he's lazy, number one. I could say a lot more, but I won't. But he come to me one day, he said, Pastor, I believe the Lord has called me to teach. I said, what are you going to teach? He said, the Lord has called me to teach on finances. And I just went, wow. What do you think about me taking the, and here's what they said, what do you think about me taking the, not Larry Burkett, what's the other guy? No, I think it was back then, it was Larry Burkett. He said, how about, what do you think about me taking the Larry Burkett curriculum and teaching it? Okay, you go do it for a year and let it work in your life, then I'll let you teach it. See, it goes back to we want to do what we don't have. And so I pray for the guy, but he still ain't changed. He's the same way. And if I let him, he will call here. He calls here every once in a while. He don't even ask for me anymore. But why? Because he don't want to hear what I got to say. Because he wants to get on there and talk for 3 or 4 hours. There are some people, now not everybody, listen to me. Please, I'm not telling you not to be sensitive. Be sensitive. But there are some people who all they will do is they just want you to cry with them. All they want you to do is get down the duck because misery loves company. But let me tell you something. I will listen to you for a time and I go, okay, that's enough. Let's see what we're going to do about it. And if you're not going to do anything about it, then I don't want you to bring me down with you. So therefore, I don't want to hear it. Now, pastor, that's ugly. You're supposed to be our pastor. I am your pastor and I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help you help people. Because there are people in your life right now who are doing that to some of you, and you're allowing them to do it, and you're wondering why you have no victory, and you're wondering why you have no why you have no positive things in your life, because those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are always dragging you down, that they would drag down the good ship Zion, and you're trying to let them drag your little good ship Lollipop down. You can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to understand that there's only a certain amount of people that you can handle dragging on you without you going down. True story, and I'm done. 16 years old, 15 years old. And I'm swimming. We're at a place called Soul City in Saraland, Alabama. It was a little creek there. It had rained and the river was up, but it was hot and there were plenty of people there. I was swimming there, and I used to be a pretty good swimmer. I don't know about now, but I used to be a pretty good swimmer. And I seen a kid a little bit younger than me, seen him go down. Seen him go down. I went, where's his daddy? And he went down again, so I just dove in. And I'm bringing him back, and the current was too strong for me to swim against the current and keep him up. So I would hold him up over my head so I couldn't breathe any longer, and then I would kick off the bottom with him in my arms and come up and get me another breath of air and go back down until I got him to land. And then as soon as I got him to land where I could stand and got in there, I said, now go up there, and his mom was like, and I looked back around, there was another kid. I went, oh Jesus. So I just jumped in. And I got this kid. Now I'm doing the same thing. And when I come up, this other kid's grabbing on to me. Now I got two. And I'm like, And so I knew that if I tried to do both, I was going to drown. Right? And so you got to know your own limitations. But I just want to help everybody. But you ain't got the resources to help everybody. You ain't got the mentality to help everybody. You don't have the physical or the emotional bank to help everybody. But you need to help those whom God called you to help. Help those whom God has assigned you to help. But you can't help everybody. Because you know why? Because somebody don't want help. They just want pity. They just want a hand out instead of a hand up. Stand with me to your feet. Go ahead, give God praise. All right, everybody still love me? Anybody mad? Don't answer that. Let's pray. Pastor, Cash, sweet one.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.